One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I want to do something today in the message that I hope will be a real blessing to God's people. The Bible has come, of course, to be the most precious book that I know. And the only thing that I'm concerned about reading, I hardly ever put my eyes on anything except the Bible, because I almost considered a waste of time. And why should I read something else that's so incomplete and many times so full of flaws and sinful reports when I could be reading the Bible? And so I do not want to desecrate my eyes or my time. And so this book, and since that time, and more all the time, and I become more of a fanatic every day that I live about the book. And everything else seems so cheap and so irrelevant compared with the book. And it's so piecemeal until of course, I know I could read the newspaper and find out what happened yesterday. And the newspaper today is really essential to wrap the garbage in, and that's about all. Yesterday's newspaper, because it's already gone. I mean, nobody, you never say, I'd like to go down and buy me a yesterday's newspaper. Nobody else wants yesterday's. But listen, I have yesterday's Bible, and it's sweet and fine. I have the Word of the Ages, and it tells me about the Rock of Ages. The only hiding place I know, the only refuge I have is in the Word of God. The only wisdom I've ever had is from the Word of God. I want to cultivate your appetite a little bit and stir you up. The only thing that I need to know is in the Bible. All I need to know is in the Bible. And the great souls that I need to know, that are essential to know, are in the Bible. And I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry that the average child, including mother and dad, know more about the celebrities of this generation than to do the saints in the Bible, the Word of God. We're so ignorant of spiritual things. That's the reason that I brought along with me these cards with 67 chapters. If you have your Bible, turn with me, please. I want to give you some of my favorite verses of Scripture and preach on them. Some of the things that have stuck in my spiritual craw, fed my soul, strengthened my faith, cleansed my life, gave me a challenge to go on when it would have been sort of easy to stop. I mean, in the face of opposition, misunderstanding. And may I say to you, though with no word of complaint and no accusation to the Lord, I've received more misunderstanding since I started walking with Jesus than I did before. And that's very simple, because the world doesn't understand spiritual things. If I'd have walked the natural road, the world would have understood it. They can understand the natural, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And the natural man is of the world, see? And the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. You can't make the carnal mind subject to God. You can't make the natural man subject to God. The only way in the world that you can do is to get a supernatural mind and make the natural mind or the carnal mind behave. And the only way in the world you'll ever handle your natural self is for you to become supernatural in Christ and then keep the natural man in obedience. Paul said, I beat myself black and blue. I bring myself under. And that's what most people have never done. They've never brought their appetites under. And when I say appetites, I mean all their appetites. and they got a lot of them. They've never brought their wants under. They've never brought their flesh under. And they've never brought their physical appetite under. I mean, they don't know what real discipline. You know, I believe that about 9/10 of the Christian life, and even physical health and the right kind of mind, is discipline. Now, I believe Jesus has to save a person. I know that. We have to get saved. But I believe when Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him do what? Deny. Deny. Is that what Moses did? He said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I'll guarantee you, he really gave up a modern mama, didn't he? You talk about a real socialite, and you talk about a modern babysitter and somebody that had everything at his, I mean, clothes, pomp, power, glitter, glamour. Have you ever stopped? You mothers, visit with me a minute. Reckon why you ever did that. Why, there's only one explanation. He had a real mama. That old-fashioned mother had prayed for him, and she was more powerful with the power of God than that little old Egyptian girl ever could have been with all of her trinkets and gadgets. Let me tell you something. The trinkets and gadgets and a lot of the stuff that you can't afford many times the kids don't need, they don't do a thing to spoil your kids anyhow. Sin spoils anybody, and it's a sin to spoil a kid. It really is. Discipline is the thing that we've missed in this generation. Now then, what's happened? The mothers and dads can't hold them, can't take care of them. The schools can't handle them. The law can't handle them. What do they do? And they lock them up, put them in pens, jails, juvenile shelters. I guarantee you we had none of that when I was coming up. Psychiatric wards, full, running over today because we've gotten away from the old-fashioned. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And when you die, Christ lives. Until you do die, Christ doesn't live in your life. And most of us are so full of our wants and desires about this season of the year. We want this and we want that. And if we don't get it, we bawl and squall and we'll upset the whole household about it. And wives are nearly as bad as kids a lot of times. And husbands too. Husbands will pout like babies. Isn't that pitiful? A husband, great big old mulish moping, pouting, blubbering man. Can you imagine that? I mean, he's really run out of something to do when he swells up and pouts 2 or 3 days, you know. Well, I don't have time. I just couldn't do that. I mean, that'd cramp me to death. I mean, I can't fool around pouting. Just, I couldn't sing if I was pouting. I mean, I couldn't wake up in the morning singing Sweet Jesus if I had to pout all day. And if I sang Sweet Jesus, I'd have to get at least a mile away from my wife because I want her to know I'm pouting. Isn't that pitiful? And yet we got grown people that live just like that. Poor little old, they never have denied themselves, never given a feel so sorry for ourselves, you know. Talk about how lonely we get. Why, dear friends, you'll never be lonely when Jesus is along with you. He's the best company you'll ever have. Sweetest moments of my life, not when I'm with a crowd. I've been lonely in the crowd. Sometimes I get lonely. I really get lonely in the crowd. Or sometimes I just want to weep in the crowd. Why? Because I've got so many rebels, got so many sinners. Got so many people that don't want to hear Jesus and don't want to sing, and I can get off way off 100 miles from everybody and just Jesus and sing Sweet Jesus, and my loneliness is gone then. Why? I'm in good company. I'm in good company. I tell you, dear friends, it's not more company we need, it's better company we need. Yeah? Oh, listen. Well, I guess we're ready now to start with the great scriptures of the Bible. I'm going to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Chapter 33. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. This is the blessing. I've been interested in reading through the Bible, found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, said, this is the book. This is the book. Joshua said in Joshua 1, 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This is the book. And I found in another place where it said, this is the way. This is the way. And so there are a lot of things. But he said, this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Now then turn to the 25th verse, and this is a promise for you and me. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now that doesn't mean a great deal to modern people. Somebody said, I'd sure hate to wear iron shoes. Not if you'd been living back there then, you wouldn't. You see, the enemy, when he decided he'd better turn around and run, he'd drop a lot of sharp sticks. I mean, that's part of his artillery. And so when the enemy came behind, They'd get a bunch of sharp sticks stuck through the old sandals, you know, and their old feet, and they'd be so crippled up, they couldn't run. They couldn't overtake them. But he said, I'm going to fix you where those sharp sticks won't bother you. I'll give you some shoes that are made out of iron and brass. Now, brass, you know, won't rust. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't want the brass. Well, we need brass shoes so we can walk on the sharp. And thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know, God said the same thing. Jesus said the same thing. He said, sufficient unto the day are the evils thereof. Don't be worried about tomorrow. You can't be crying over yesterday because that's already gone. But he said, thy days, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. It just means that if you have a little rougher day, you can have a little more grace. And James said he giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He giveth more strength when the trials increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. And so, you know, even though sometimes we get afraid because the burden seems so heavy and seem like we can't make it, that's God's opportunity to reveal himself and to show us that he has plenty of grace and strength. Oh, I get so many letters. I'm thinking of some from some old people. And they said, Brother Wolff, I got a gift that was sent to me for Christmas. And I'm on the Social Security, but said, you know, the Lord's so good, I'd rather give it than to keep it. I get more blessings out of giving it than would keeping it. But he said, while you're on your way, as your days are, so shall your strength be. Now, here's one of my flying verses, verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. You know what that verse means to me? It means that we have a refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Did you know that I fly an airplane that is held up in a mysterious way? There's an overflow over the wings that causes the plane to stay in the air. That's the reason when you get ice on your wings flying through the moisture that's freezing and get above the freezing temperature in the clouds, that's the reason your plane takes on a load of ice and comes down. It's not just the load of ice, even though a tremendous load of ice will get on that mighty spread of wings, see? And it'll load you down, and you could have, you could have 1,000 pounds of ice, I guess, if you just kept on stacking up, see, and kept freezing, and then directly, of course. But the main thing is, you've lost your overflow. And I think maybe that's what's wrong with a lot of people. They've lost the overflow. I mean, one dear old sister told me, she's a sweet old saint of God. She said, Brother Olaf, I'm just a-praying today that you'll preach out of the overflow. Another one asked me, she said, Brother Olaf, are you prayed up? Didn't ask me if I was saved, did she? Asked me if I was prayed up. In other words, are you caught up on your praying? If you are, everything's all right. You'll preach when you pray, like you ought to. Well, it said, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and then, get it, he'll thrust them out, then you'll say, now go destroy him. Now I want to ask you a question. This is serious. How many of you are willing for the Lord to get the enemy out? Oh, you'd say, what is it, Brother Olaf? Why don't you figure it out? You know what's wrong with most of us, including Baptists? We depend on the preacher to tell us everything. We ought to find out for ourselves. We got a lot of religious slavery going on in this country. Every man ought to be free in Christ. God ought to tell you how much you ought to give, how much you ought to keep. He ought to tell you where to go to church, where to go visiting. He ought to tell you, God, you ought to get all your orders from the Lord. Now, I'll guarantee you there'll be no backsliding when everybody gets a direct line. It'll go by what he gets from heaven. And so, he said, I'm going to thrust out your enemy, then I'm going to let you destroy him. In other words, I'm not going to destroy the enemy. I'm going to let you destroy the enemy, see. Are you willing to destroy what's wrong in your life today when God thrusts it out? I wish you'd go back. I just happened to think of this verse, Exodus chapter 23. This is a tremendous passage. Verse 20, Exodus 23:20, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Did you know? Now, Paul talks about let us run the race that is set before us. God's already set the race. He knows exactly the track we're supposed to run on. But he said here, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. I believe God has prepared a wonderful place for every person in here. Now then, you'd say, but I just don't know how I'm going to ever get there. Well, he said he'd send an angel before your face. You'd say, but Brother Wolf, would you be practical and tell me what kind of an angel do you believe in? Well, I'd like to mention two wonderful angels that God has made available to you. Number one, the Holy Spirit. He's living in you. The Holy Spirit, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in and resides and abides and provides on the inside. The Holy Spirit doesn't live in this building. You know, you've taken this old building here and made it look so nice and good. I like this. God has blessed it. And the gospel's being preached in this building. But, dear friends, the Holy Spirit doesn't live in those stained glass windows. He doesn't live in this organ over here, organ and piano. The Holy Spirit lives in individuals. All right? That's an angel. Now then, you'd say, but how's he going to guide me? Through his word. To me, the Bible is the omnistation. You can tell right where you are when you go over the omnistation. I came over an omnistation over here, and I saw that little old needle, you know, as it began to get a little nervous because it's getting close to home. See, it began to shake like that, you know, and I said to somebody, right, and I said, "Watch that little old needle now." And the thing was saying T-O. That means two. You're going right toward it. And so it wouldn't make a difference if there had been 15,000 feet of clouds under me. I knew exactly where I was. And so that little old needle began to get nervous, you know. And all of a sudden, when I went right over the station, she swang to the left and swang to the right and back to the left and said, "You better notice." And all of a sudden, in that little window, that thing just flipped over and it went from to from. That means I'm going away from it now, you see. Now then, you'd say, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had something like that on our way to heaven? Oh, yes, we do have. Here it is right here. This is God's navigational system right here. But the trouble with a lot of people, they don't know how to tune in on the right omnistation. And you sure won't know where you are unless you know what omnistation, and that's the Word of God. Oh, if somehow God's people. Now turn to the 91st chapter, the 91st chapter of the book of Psalms. And this is one I've committed to memory this year. I'm so glad. Oh, I wish I could get people to memorize the Bible. I mean chapters of the Bible. I tell you, you'd stop your backsliding. You'd stop your living in sin if you and I would really get after the Scripture and memorize it like we all. If you'd memorize chapter after chapter, I challenge my radio friends to read through the Bible with me every year. Memorize one chapter every 30 days of the Word of God. And if you'll take the time to do it, and as I said before, if I paid you enough money, I know you would. But why would you want to have to be paid money when God's going to pay you spiritually for memorizing? Now, the 91st Psalm, verse 10, "Thou shalt no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Has there ever been a time when people needed their dwelling places taken care of like now? Have you ever known of so much danger? Women not allowed in some cities to be on the street by themselves. Dangers for girls. A lot of times women say, "Brother Olaf, I'd sure like to take a walk, but I'm afraid to walk by myself. Husband would have to go with her." Oh, we're living in such a vile and vulgar and vicious times. Wouldn't it be good, though, to claim this promise when he said, "Thou shalt no evil befall thee"? Why? Read the 9th verse. "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." I tell you, that's twofold. He said no evil shall befall thee. No plague's going to come nigh your dwelling. Now he's going to give the reason. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Angels going to take care of you. God's got a protector. You know, I read about a missionary on the field, a lady, a precious lady, and one night it looked like she was in great danger. And she was alarmed and disturbed because she saw somebody out through the bushes, and she saw their shadows. Oh, it was a number of, looked like men. And she had no communication with the outside, and she stayed in great anxiety during the night. She thought the daylight would never come. She thought that the sun would never rise again. And she knew that this is the night, you know, that the opposition that hated her. And oh, she knew that he'd been gathering because of the gospel story she'd been telling. The opposition had risen to dangers, to a dangerous peak. And finally, daylight came. And she saw some men as they moved off down the road. And she thought, oh, I don't understand it. And then after a while, she went down to the little meeting place, and she saw some men who seemed sort of sleepy and tired in the service. And she mentioned it to somebody, and it finally got back to her. Those men were afraid you might be in danger. They'd spent the night and encircled your little house to watch after you and would risk their lives. They'd have fought anybody to come to harm their missionary. Even so, dear friends, sometimes we're afraid of our very protection, did you know that? You remember when the disciples were in the old storm-tossed ship, and they looked up and saw somebody coming on the water, and they got scared, and they were afraid, and they trembled, and Jesus said, "It's I, be not afraid. I'm coming to rescue you, not coming to sink you at all." Isn't it strange that you and I are afraid of our very deliverance? One of these days, you know, we got people that are afraid of the coming of the Lord. Used to scare me, because I didn't have much preached to me back in my little old church. Till I was grown, I never heard about the coming of the Lord. Heard a little every once in a while about the end of the world. That scared me, too. Newspaper every once in a while put out something, you know, said the end of the world would be August the 19th, 1934, or 1920. Man, it scared me. End of the world coming. Somebody's, and maybe a bunch would go out on the hillside, you know, and wait. Said, this is it. And of course, by sundown, they'd come down and go back embarrassed, you see. Oh, listen, I'll tell you one thing, though. The end down here is going to be the beginning for me. Yes, sir. And I tell you, what you call death is going to be my commencement exercise. And so, nothing to be afraid of. He gave his angel charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now then, I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Now, the Lord has never made a promise that he hasn't fulfilled. And usually he demonstrates every one of them in the life of somebody in the Bible. Now, notice what he said. When thou passest through the waters, did Moses and the children of Israel go through the waters? Was he with them? Indeed he was. They went across dry shod. Now then, when the Hebrew children went into the fiery furnace, did the flame kindle upon them or burn them? Not at all. They came out. God always gives a promise and then he demonstrates his power to keep it in the life of somebody and the Word of God.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. If you'd like to receive this message on a CD, ask for offer number RO3266. And the title of the message is Some Favorite Verses. Some Favorite Verses. Again, that offer number is RO3266. Please include $10 to help with shipping and handling. And we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to the radio station that you're now listening to. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And if you'd like to use your credit card, dial toll free at 1-800
772-7507. During the month of July, we recommend this offer, No Thieves in Heaven, a message by Brother Roloff teaching the difference between a thief and a shepherd from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. You will learn who is the thief and how he operates. When requesting this CD, ask for offer number RO2748 and include $10. We would also accept credit cards by dialing 1-800-772-7507, or you can write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Now the offer again is No Thieves in Heaven, offer number 2748. This is Gene Price, speaking for the staff here today, wishing you a wonderful day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.